Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Amen. I just want to share just a couple of minutes. Psalm 16 says, "Preserve me, O Lord, for I take refuge in you." I said to the Lord, "You are my Lord." Could you say that to him today? Could you say that right now? You are my Lord. Say it. Just say it to him. You are my Lord. Amen. Then it goes on and says, "I have nothing good besides you." And that is the truth. We have nothing good besides him. As far as the saints are in this earth, they are the majestic ones. So that's describing you and us. Saints in this earth, we are the majestic ones. And my final saying here in this passage is, "In whom is my delight, all my delight." So I want you to please stand to your feet just for a moment. If everybody will, I like making you stand up and get back down. Y'all know how I am. None of that was affected. So we're still at it. Turn to your right. I can't do that. Turn to somebody beside you. Let's do that. Because this passage says, all the saints, in whom is all his delight. So tell the person, "I am the delight of the Lord." Now turn to somebody else and tell them, "I am the delight of the Lord." Take that with you in the new year. Don't ever forget it, and remember it from now on, that you are all of his delight. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Pastor John.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Well, Happy New Year to you. I trust that you guys are having a great start anyway, okay? But are you his delight? Do you believe that? Amen. I tell you, we have to believe it, right? Amen. I just want to share with you today, God has put on my heart. Now, this is just something he put on my heart. I don't know if you can wear it, you can have it, okay? But he's been putting in my heart, in the year of 2025, the church is going to thrive. Amen. See? And when with that saying, you know, I start praying. I said, "God, how is this going to happen?" You know, how many know that's a good question? You know, if I'm going to thrive, I want to know how it's going to work. You know, have you ever been praying and you were saying some things and the Holy Spirit corrected you? You know, I was praying about it and I said, you know, I got to pay the price. I just got to get the price paid. And the Holy Spirit whispered in me inwardly that still small voice and said, "It's already paid." And with that, what God is really, sometimes we think God is trying to, he's looking for the perfection, and he is in a way, but what he's really looking for is our surrender. See, because he said that God will do the perfecting if we'll do the surrendering. So I just want to encourage you for this year, surrender unto God and let him do the perfecting. Amen? Because it's already been paid for. I mean, our salvation and our maturity has already been paid for in Christ. It is a finished work, but we have to learn how to walk in the finished work that he's giving us. See, if I don't learn how to follow Christ in the proper way, you know, I'm going to miss out on what he said I could have. And you say, well, how can you miss out? Sometimes religion try to set in and make us do things that the Word of God is not requiring of us. But if we have relationship with Almighty God, I mean, you know, he's going to show us the true way. Because the Bible said that when the Spirit of truth has come, he will lead and guide us into what? All truth. I mean, all truth means all truth. All means what? All, okay? So there's truth for progression or for growth and maturity, okay? So that's what we have to learn to do. I mean, you know, we're learning how to walk in our new creation. See, as long as we stay sin conscious, I mean, you know, we're going to always be trying to repeat and trying to work this thing out and make it happen. But we got to become righteous conscious. Why? Because that's who he made us. The Bible said he who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And what he's saying there is that we will be in right standing with him, or we will be in right relationship with him. Now, because we're in right standing with God, do you realize that judgment can't touch us? It can't touch us. Why? Because we've been made righteous in him. And Jesus took the judgment, the penalty of sin. He's already bore it. He became sin. He became sin. Why? To pay for the penalty that we deserve. And instead of giving us what we deserve, he gave us his righteousness, which is in right standing with God. And the Bible says that Abraham, because he believed God, God reckoned it unto him as righteousness. So my belief plays a big part in me receiving what the finished work have already provided for me. See, it's the belief. And many of times what happens is we change locations and we go different places trying to say, well, if I go over here and get away from this crowd, I can change. But in reality, you're just moving location. You're just relocating. But true change only comes when the belief system have changed. Unless you change the belief system, you're going to repeat the same thing. Why? Because it takes a system greater than the system that you come out of to begin to empower you to change. And that's what Jesus did. He said, I transform you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of my dear son. So therefore, Satan has no right or power over the church. Why? Because we've been what? Translated out. And we're in a kingdom now that's operating by God, amen, by Jesus Christ. And the government was on his shoulders. And guess what? He's governing the church. That's what he want to do, is govern us to the place to where the world, the devil, and the flesh will have no authority over us. And he's bringing us to that place, and that place is called maturity. See, it's not that God is withholding it from us. He's holding it for us. He's saying, if you want this, grow up in me and you can have this. But see, he don't want to give us. See, we got to understand, God is so much wiser than we are. Because we think, well, hey, I deserve to be treated this way. But God is saying, look, you got to grow up and mature so you can handle this. This is what's happened to the church throughout the ages, is that we got the revelation of God, but we didn't let the revelation transform us. It didn't transform us. Why? Because we thought, well, hey, we're going to have this so-and-so and so-and-so over here. Come, and you can hear from God. But how many know God is not wanting us to merchandise the gospel? He wants the gospel to so transform us to when the world look at us, it's no longer us who we see, but it's Christ in us. See, that's the transformation. That maturity we're bringing is being more Christ-like. And how many know that is the purpose of God, that we be conformed into the image of Christ. Amen. So I'm excited about the new year. I'm going to thrive. I-C-I-T, amen. If you want to thrive, hey, that's a good way to start. Why? Because it will transform your life. It will transform. I've taken it. I facilitate it and I've taken it. But guess what? I still go back and read it because sometimes, you know, we didn't get all that we could, you know, that you could have got. But you can go back and it is just as rich today as it was when this man of God wrote it. It's rich and it will transform your life. Amen? All right. I'm about through, y'all. Okay. I just want to read two scriptures, okay? Two scriptures. I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians. And I'm still in the vein of what I was sharing with you because, you know, what we got to understand is this. How many want to live out of the provision of God? See, how many know when you think of provision, do you realize the provision has already been taken care of? It's almost like you getting ready to go on a trip, okay, a vacation, and somebody has paid it in full for you. And you still wonder, well, you know, I can't go because I can't afford it. But wait a minute, it's already been paid for you. Well, I can't go because I ain't got the clothes to go. No, don't worry about it. Just get you a pair of jeans and some shorts and let's go, right? See, but when you think of that little metaphor, when you think of that little illustration, do you realize that's what Christ has really did for us? He has already paved the way for you and I to succeed in life. He said he has blessed us with everything pertaining to life and godliness. He has blessed us with it. But it's up to us to begin to what? Learn about these things. And that's what Jesus, remember Jesus always when he taught, he said, follow me. Follow me. And I was praying, I said, God, what does it mean to follow you? Follow my teaching. Follow my manner of life. Watch what I did. Read about what I did. Follow me. Follow my teachings. And how many know his teachings is about the kingdom and how to do what? Operate and how to live out kingdom principles. And you can start in Matthew 5 and through 6 and 7. Jesus explained, he explains it exactly about the kingdom. You know, and he said what? In Matthew 6:33, he said, do what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. You know what? I choose to seek the kingdom and allow things to be added. See, when things are added, you don't have to work for it. Amen? I would much rather have it added to me than to have to work for it all my life. See, and the Bible said he has freely given us all things. He has freely given it to us. And I'm telling you, this book is so rich with the things of God that he has given us. Under the new covenant, he has given us things. I mean, better promises, a better lifestyle. It's all in here in the new covenant. Amen? But we have to begin to do what? Read and study the Word of God. You know, we have to have an appetite for the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is what's really revealing the mind of Christ to us. That's why the Bible said, let this mind that was in Christ be also in you. Let it be in you. Jesus said, I don't do nothing except what I hear or I see my Father doing. That's what I do. And that's what we got to get to, church, is that we allow the Spirit of God, he is already in us, to empower us to live out everything that God has promised us. There's nothing that he's trying to withhold from you. He's wanting to get it to you. But guess what? It only comes to those. He says, seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Ask and it shall be given. Those words, it don't mean, well, you just ask one time, but it is a repeatedly asking. is it a repeatedly seeking. It is a repeatedly a renewing the mind. When Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing. That's a repeated thing. It's not a one-shot deal. It's not to give me a shot, boom, and I'm there. There are some things that God is working out of us, and then also he's working some things in us. I mean, no flesh will glory in his presence. And that's what happened a lot of times. You know, we kind of get the big head, but how many know that when you come God's way, God has a way of humbling you and making you realize, hey, I don't take the credit. It all goes to him. It's all his. Amen? All right. Did I give you a scripture? I didn't. 2 Corinthians. Thank you, Pastor. Okay, 2 Corinthians. And I'm in Romans. Okay. 2 Corinthians, and this is Paul. He's having a discussion because some thought he was walking in the flesh. And, you know, he had a discussion here, but I'm just going to bring you down to verse 3. And it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Oh, chapter 10. Thank you. Y'all have to, I'm sorry. Thank you. I love you too. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. Chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, okay? It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Now, there's another scripture. I'm going to come back, but just hold on. There's another scripture that says that the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal, but mighty through God, okay? But then there's one in Ephesians 10 said, we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, okay? So we shouldn't be warring against each other. We shouldn't be warring against each other. We're not here to compete with each other. We're here to complete. Okay, so it takes all of us to do what? To complete the ministry that Jesus has left to the church. We don't have to compete with each other. Why? Because we're all part of the body of Christ. Just because you're the hand, I can't say I'm the toe or the feet. I'm not a part. How many know it takes the whole body? Okay, so the weapons of war, we don't wrestle against. Though we're in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? Of the flesh are carnal, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortress. Now, the word fortress there is a castle, and the fortress is that it would be built up to keep things out or to keep things in. And the thoughts that rises up against us try to capture us or hold us into captivity. But notice it's not a flesh and blood battle. But notice what it said there. Divinely powerful and destruction of fortress. So our weapons of warfare are not what? Carnal or fleshly. See, do you realize you can't, that the devil has already been defeated? But he still has a voice. See, Jesus defeated him and stripped him of all his authority and power. And then in turn gave the power to the church to do what? To execute that power against the evil that's in this world. Okay? So when we go here and we read this, he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but divinely powerful in what? For the destruction of fortress. The next verse, please. Okay. We are destroying. Notice what it said. We are. Look at your neighbor and say, we are. Destroying speculation and every lawful thing rises up against the knowledge of God. Now, I used to think that it rises up against my knowledge, but notice what it said here. For we are destroying speculation and every lawful thing that rises up against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the what? Obedience of Christ. And I thought that was my obedience, but it was Christ's obedience. The Bible said through his obedience, he's brought many sons unto glory. Through his obedience, he has made us righteous. See, but we got to tell, it's his obedience, not my obedience. And he obeyed by going to the cross. He obeyed when they said, come down and save yourself. No, I'm here to obey God. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, not my will be done, but thine be done. How many know it was a done deal in the garden when he said, not my will, but your will be done. I'm going to obey the Father. Even unto death, he obeyed God for the purpose of you and I becoming daughters and sons of God. So his obedience, okay? Let's look at Romans 6. It's through the obedience of Christ. Christ has already defeated the enemy, but guess what? Now we walk, but how many know? We don't walk after the flesh. Would you be disturbed if I told you you are not flesh? Paul says in Romans, he said, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Now, we have a fleshly body. I'm not trying to deny that. It's real, but that's not the real you. That's not the one to hold control. Our spirit is the one that should be in control. Amen. The soul shouldn't be able to dictate to us. Why? Because the soul consists of mind, will, and emotions. But guess what? We are a spirit being having a human experience. And when we begin to look at ourselves the way Christ say we are, I mean, no, it changed the way we think. And as you change the way you think, you'll change the way you walk. See, we want to change behavior, but we don't want to change the way we think. Our behavior is a product of our belief. So we got to get our thinking in alignment with what God says who we are, and then the behavior will begin to change. When you become righteous-minded and believe righteous, I mean, you know, you'll start doing righteous things. See, we're trying to fight things that Jesus had already made it possible for us to receive and partake of. But guess what? We got to learn. We got to be taught these things. We got to grow up in these things. We can't just say, well, you know, I'm just going to give a New Year's resolution. How many know we do that and then about 30 days later, we back to the norm? But I'm talking about a lasting change, a belief system change that will affect your entire life. Okay? All right. What did I say go to? Y'all help me out. Thank you. Thank you. You know, and that's what Jesus, see, it's the Spirit of God that Jesus really came to do. He said, John said, I come to baptize with water unto repentance, but he that is coming after me is mightier than I am. He will baptize you with what? With the Holy Spirit and fire. See, so what Jesus, he knew that if they get the Holy Spirit in them, they'll be just like me. They'll be able to conquer this old earth just like I did. Why? Because the same spirit that was in Jesus Christ is in you and I. Amen. Only if I had the presence of Jesus like Jesus walked. Only if I had what he had. You got it. It's in you. He has empowered us. But what the enemy wants us to think is this: you don't have the power to do this. But guess what? It's in you. The power of God is on the inside of us for us. And I like this when Pastor Terry shared it, but it come upon you for others. See, he want to change us and then come upon us and we help others. See, but if I'm not allowing the Spirit of God to change me, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to flush out. Y'all know what I mean by flush out, right? Okay. All right. tantrum tantrums and baby talk. Mine, mine. Okay. All right, let's look at this. Romans 5. Okay, go to 5, okay? Making sure you're with me. Go to 5, okay? Notice it said, through the obedience of Christ, okay? Now, verse 19, he says, let's go up to verse 18. He says, so then, as though one transgression, there result condemnation to all men. Even so, through one act of righteousness, there result justification of life to all men. Verse 19. For as through the one man's disobedience, many were made what? Even so, through the obedience of what? One, many will be made what? Righteousness. And what did it say? Through the obedience of who? Christ. So through the obedience of Christ, we've been made what? Righteousness. Right standing with God and right relationship with Him. Okay? Now, go with me to Proverbs. I didn't give you the chapter, did I? Okay. Proverbs 29. Okay. Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. Okay. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Okay. All right. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Got it? Okay. What do it say? Where there is no vision, the people are what? Unrestrained. Now, I want to read this in another translation. Listen to this, okay? It says, where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation. That word vision there could also mean where there is no revelation, the people are unrestrained, are unbridled. So the revelation of redemptive revelation is what I just shared with you, that Christ has already did it for us. But my vision has to line up, or the revelation that we're getting is causing me to come into the very vision of who Christ intended you to be from the foundation of the world. He's bringing you to that place that He created you for from the foundation of the world. In Ephesians, He said, you were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Do you see yourself chosen? How do it look? I'm redeemed. I've been rescued. I'm delivered. I'm healed. I have soundness now. Where there is no revelation, the people are what? Unrestrained. So what revelation does is this. It has to come from what? The Word of God through the Spirit of God. Remember last week, Pastor Terry Wilson was sharing about hearing. Not just listening, but really hearing. And when we hear, we obey. He said, not just being a hearer only, but a doer of what we're hearing. The Bible says, faith come by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That is a rhema that God is speaking to you. Now, it will line up with the Word of God, but it could be a dream or vision that God has put in you. And I already know the devil want to rob you of your dreams and visions. through revelation, God has given it to us. In other words, revelation reveals who we are in Christ. We're not just members of a church. We're not just gathering for the sake of gathering. There's a purpose for our gathering, and that purpose is that we begin to learn who we are in Christ and begin to walk in it, begin to talk in it. See, sometimes we don't want to say, but the Bible tells me, it says, let the redeem of the Lord, what are you saying? Because the Bible said you can have what you say. When we're in alignment with what God is doing and what God is saying to us. See, quit going around hollering, I'm a sinner. Say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You know, we all still sinners. How many know we're not sinners anymore? We are saints. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're the assembly of God. We're the body of Christ. We're the new creatures that's walking this earth, amen, that's going to begin to turn it upside down. Amen. Why? Because we know who we are and we know who called us and we know where we're going. Why? Because he's the Lord of our lives. Amen? And it says that where there is no vision or where there is no revelation, the people are restrained. How many know the word of God will constrain you? See, it ain't to beat you up. It ain't to hold you. How many know the word don't bring condemnation? But religion does. See, religion will say, well, you didn't do that right. You ain't wearing your hair right. You ain't dressed right. So you can't be a speaker for God. But how many know it ain't in our clothes. It's in our spirit, man. Okay? But he said revelation. Okay, how many know Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened and that you will have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in him, of knowing him. See, without revelation, how many know it's a dead letter? And Paul said, the letter killeth, but the spirit does what? Gives life. Okay, so he says what? Let's move on. But what? Happy, back up, excuse me, I'm sorry. But happy is he who keeps the law. That word happy there means blessed. Blessed is he or her who keeps the law, who guards the law. Now, this law is talking about the Torah. But I mean, you know, we're operating under a new law, a commandment, a new commandment. Now, how many know what the new commandment is? Okay. Thank you. Love. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that ye shall love one another as I have loved you. And the new commandment is what? Love. Do you not know it is faith which worketh by love? See, and that's what we got to grow up in, our love walk, the unconditional love. You go loving people, the first thing they think, what do you want? What you want? What you want me to do for you? I just love you. Have you ever told somebody you love and they, oh, what you want? But I just love you because you are God's creation. And if you're not born again and you're not saved, I want to tell you what he did for you. You don't have to go through these days gloom and doom with no hope. There is a hope for you. See, so what am I saying here? Happy is the man, happy is he who keeps the law of the Lord, who keeps that love walk, who guards the love that God, that law of God that's on the inside, he guards it, he keeps it. Do you realize this same word keep is the same word God gave to Adam in the garden when he said cultivate and keep it? In other words, it means to guard. Now, I hate to say this, but Adam didn't guard too well, did he? Had he'd have been guarding, guess what? we wouldn't have to go through half of the stuff. We wouldn't have to go through any. Why? Because we'd have been all born by what? God's creation, that spirit. Amen. Now that we got to contend with the flesh and all those thoughts and things, but guess what? God is still greater than he that's in the world, greater than you that's in you than he that's in the world. God is still going to do it. Amen. All right. Thank you. And remember, it is Christ's obedience. See, and what Jesus told us to do, he said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. See, he want to govern you so that you can learn from him. And as we learn from him, I learn how to love Miss Faye. I learn how to love you guys out there. Why? Because I'm learning from him. See, he didn't leave us in this alone. He's with us. And he's going to empower us to do what? Walk in what he's designed for us to walk in. But we must get in the word of God, because the Bible said faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. See, and that's what the word is designed to do, is what? Build our faith. Build our faith. Amen. And when we begin to walk in these things and begin to grow up and mature in these things, it's not about us. It's all about him. And that's where we got to get to. My righteousness is not mine. It's his. The justification I receive, it's his. The love I have, it's his. It's all his. But he said, John, you can partake of it. And you can partake of it. Amen? Stand to your feet. Yes. Okay. Now, if you hadn't signed up for ICIT, please sign up today, okay? And don't worry about it. You say, well, I don't know if I can afford it. Don't worry about that. God will make a way for you to go if you'll just sign up. If you want to go through ICIT, please sign up today so Mark can have a count. We can get your material ready for you and have it for you on Wednesday night. So if you'd like to do that, please do so today. Or if you have went through it before and you say, well, hey, man, I like to go back through it, sign up and let him know that you're going to go back through it again, okay? Because some people do go back through it again, all right? My question to you, is there anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ? Anyone? Y'all look around and see if any hands is up that don't know Jesus. Okay. So we all are born again, right? Well, I challenge you today to get in your Bible and begin to read and ask God, Lord, what are you saying? And let the Holy Spirit begin to reveal to you what Christ is saying. Because we're going to live the way we live out of his provision. It's already been provided for you. The love letter has been written. Learn about your lover. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word, Lord, and we thank you for the opportunity to share what you've put in our hearts, Lord. And God, we know that you sent your son to take our place. He was the substitution of us, Lord. And Lord, he did it so great and so grand to where you said, Lord God, that you have multiplied the seed that was sown and resurrected through him, Father, through us. And Lord, we thank you for it today, Lord, that is in us and is working in us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. God, as we depart from this place, but never your presence, watch over us and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.